This is an enormously exciting time because we're here in the year of 2008, and 2008, we know, many of us, that the time is now where our dreams do come true, and we can make them come true by sharing who we are. This is a time to share our gifts and to express who we really are. The time is now. This is also a time of new beginnings. A time not necessarily to wipe the slate clean, but to remember all the things that we are and all the things that we've experienced. And we are beginning to blend in that into the fabric of our new reality. And we would like to thank BBS Radio, being the kind of broadcaster they are, allowing people to express who they really are. And this is a time for gratitude, and we certainly are grateful to our sponsor, Creo Monday. Creo Monday because they believe that this expression, the expression of love and gratitude and joy and forgiveness for all the things that we feel have hurt us in the past, can now be healed. And Creo Monday is something that, and is an expression of some marvelous ladies, some marvelous individuals who have, are bringing through something that you can actually wear and feel and express. Think it, feel it, and experience these new beginnings. On our last show, we had Winfrey join us for an hour and a half show, and we're going into a little bit more in depth of how these channelings actually work. And we will be hearing from one of those channelers. Now, Winfrey has had both the Ra group and the Elohim bring forth their information coming through to us at this time. And one of those individuals is Daphne. Another one is Terry. Now, Daphne will be joining us in a very candid conversation about how she channels, how she feels about it, and what she really feels the gifts of channeling can be to those who really need to hear something within themselves through these channelings, a gift. And that's what this is about, a gift to all of you and to all of us here in 2008. So, with no further ado, Let's listen in on Wind Free as he introduces some of these concepts, these realities, and introduces the information, one of the channelings we will actually hear, something for the new year. Well, we'll just let you listen. So here we are, and here you are.
If you start out at the center of everything and have one energy, and that energy then keeps subdividing and dividing through matrix into matrix, it's kind of like sacred geometry is the way that it subdivides. It would be like starting with one river that goes into six rivers, that goes into 24 rivers, and finally it ends up like a tiny little trickle of a stream, and we see that. We have no idea that that little trickle all came from these huge, huge, huge matrices upon matrices. So the Elohim is like at the top of all the matrices, and is beaming down through them to the point where even where there's the small, tiny river, they can beam energy down into it. And in fact, they have the ability to adjust matrices and recreate them on the way down with the free will of the high self and the support of the high self, because they can't violate free will. When you co-create with the Elohim, when you're actually co-creating with them, then you go into their space, and they can work on the readjustment of matrices, because now you're co-creating with them. And what is the readjustment of matrices? How does that appear to us in our realm? A miracle. Something happens that couldn't happen in the physical world. And that's how they do it, by changing the matrix in the non-physical world. Now, the Ra group can also change, do miracles, okay? The Elohim group is outside of this realm, beaming into it, and the Ra group is flowing in this realm as the actual energy that flows through the realm. So it's like that you are the Ra group. Your body is made up of the Ra group, okay? Like that. Whereas the Elohim group is, of course, everything is everything, so ultimately we're all one, okay? But the Elohim beams in, and the Ra group is in the flow.
Now, why are the Elohim beaming in at this time so powerfully? Is it that there's receptors?
They're beaming in because of the dimensional shift has made it far easier to beam in. Because we're at the end of this cycle, what it is there's more energy flowing through everything. And so it's kind of like using that analogy we did earlier, where there's a tiny trickle coming through all these matrices upon matrices upon matrices. There's a tiny trickle flowing out into the world. Well, the matrix just above the trickle is now a rushing river instead of a stream, you know. Say, for example, in the, you know, one thing that came out in some of my research is that the pyramids were part of the Ra group's exercise of creating a focusing chamber for energy so that they were actually ascending people through the pyramids, but the pyramids acted by their shape would tend to increase the level of energy in the space of the pyramid. So people would go into the pyramids and they'd open up, they'd feel the vibe. Okay. Now, that same effect is happening on a planetary level. You don't need a pyramid anymore to have that focus of energy. Because of the increased energy in the dimensional shift, it's like equivalency to the energy that was focused in the pyramid. So the access to interdimensional intelligences is far increased in this period. That's why they're speaking to more people. But somebody still needs to make the connection. In other words, just the fact that we're talking about this if somebody heard this, it would open them up to the possibility. Because for most people, there's not the possibility of this kind of thing is so far removed that, you know, it would scare them to suddenly hear a voice or something. You know, in the course of doing this, I've watched the impact of the work on people. For example, you know, it's kind of something that can happen by osmosis. It's like even with Terry and Daphne. Terry started channeling because she picked up the frequency of the channeling of Daphne's, okay? And that's what they said. They said Terry was open to us and picked up our energy, and so, you know, there's many, many people that have a predisposition to be able to channel.
That's what I find interesting right now is, through my own experience, is that the accessibility, and maybe not channel, I mean, as you're talking about channeling, but it is accessible to everyone in the sense that they can actually feel this energy and then work with it in their way. But you do have to ask.
I never encourage people to channel or to try to get vocal messages. You know, I got an email from somebody who said, "Hey man, this is cool. I really want to do some of this channeling." And I emailed them back and said, "You're an idiot." If you're going to, like, connect with a high source like the Elohim or Ra, and you're not prepared to go through the negative realms to get there, you're probably going to get a negative realm identifying itself as a higher force. And once that happens, like, see, if you just wanted to channel so that you can go to parties and tell people, "Wow, guess what they said to me," you know, you're going to get a negative source. In fact, without doubt, you'll get a negative source, because a high source won't talk to you if that's your intention. You need to be willing to be a planetary service, and with no patting yourself on the back and looking for acknowledgement and looking for kudos from other people. You have to be able to stand above all that. And if it's just like a curious, fun phenomena, and you don't have that potential to do that, and somebody starts talking to you, you're not going to be talking to the Elohim. And you open yourself up, as soon as you channel, to so much possibility of negative stuff. And if you're not prepared to handle that, if you're not prepared to identify it, you're an idiot. Because, you know, you could curse the rest of your life. I mean, even Daphne, who is channeling positive stuff, was nowhere near prepared for the stuff it would bring upon her, and is still clearing it. You know, ask her, you know. But the thing about it is the channeling is not so important. What's important is getting their energy, as they describe it, as love-like energy in the space, you know?
However, the healing effect, if one is open to it, can be almost immediate, or if not immediate. You can't qualify it. It has its own way of speaking, and I think the person who's calling this in needs to be ready to bring it in. Almost knows why. It is almost connected to it, so that when it actually comes in, it's more of a welcome and a feeling of welcome and a sense of really being in a place you want to be in.
We hear your request. We bid you welcome and the joyous blessings of the Christ Herald this evening from this sacred space of monastic retreat in the very anchored space of Conyers, Georgia. This is Archangel Gabriel speaking. You have called in a celestial host this evening to give you the information which you seemingly desire. The preamble was important in helping people to understand that these energies of which you speak, unless focalized and rooted into the physical, remain ineffectual. This Christmas is a movement from thoughts about celestial beings, from thoughts about celestial groups, from thoughts and possibilities about celestial happenings, movement through a gateway into a doorway of actualization, of physical co-creation on the physical plane with you as midwives, every single one on the conference call is now being called to birth into your life in a tangible, not mental, not emotional, not psychological, but a tangible, visceral, hand-holdable way of unlimited compassion, truth, and upliftment for the planet. All begins in the realm of possibility and thought. And yes, it joins on the other side. The energies with the gates of the 10-10, 11-11, 12-12 have been building to this point. We are now moving into the 1-1 of which we spoke. We are also moving into the 1 of the 2008 numerologically, another 1. Soon after that, 1-1-1. Completely new beginnings, completely based upon non-third dimensional rules, completely based on an etheric vibration, which is of the heart, not of the mind, not of the solar plexus, not of the will, but of the intelligence, and the heart has its own intelligence. It is the intelligence, the knowingness, that when you give to yourself. When you love, the love comes back to yourself. When you heal, the healing comes back to yourself. And you will see this speeded up immensely between now and the 3-3 and the 4-4, which is very quickly upon us as time is accelerating. The Christed love is not something out there. It is not just a good idea. It is not to go on shopping sprees and make people feel fine for a day or 2 days or eat lots of turkey. These are fine in and of themselves, but they are short-lasted. They do not create anything of lasting, healing, value, or impact. We are now speaking of things which move beyond time and space, which move beyond the ephemeral, which move beyond that which can be destroyed in the physical. We are asking you Nay, we are demanding of you as light workers, as celestial beings in training, to have no fear. No fear. There is no place for fear any longer. Which means the greatest fear we all have is death. There is to be no more fear of death. Death is simply a doorway. It is a transition. It is a transmutation. It is a moving of the dial of frequencies of life energy from one stance to another, higher vibratory stance in most cases. The world as a 3D world is moving faster and faster into chaos. The world as a 4D world is pulling apart. The separations of the two frequencies is becoming greater and greater. There is a window, a time of choice. That choice is now. The boat is leaving the dock. Those who have one foot on the boat and one foot on the dock are going to find themselves falling into the ocean and drowning. Because 3D will no longer sustain the kinds of security and the kinds of fixing the band-aid boo-boo types of situations which we have relied on it for so long to do. We ask at this time for strength, perseverance, magnitude, an inward looking at the magnificence of the calling to which you as human beings becoming divine beings are now being summoned. The clarion call, hence Archangel Gabriel, is summoned. The trumpets are blasting. There is no more waiting time. There is no more decision time. There is no more sitting on the fence time. The time is now. This is a celebration of a triumph over death. This is as Easter, Christ came off the cross. This is the transfiguration. Believe it. It is real. It happened 2,000 years ago and is happening now for the masses. With this message, we would ask you to summon courage in your heart. We would ask you to walk your talk, and when fears come upon you, to know that they are thoughts, and to dismiss them as so much dust. Nothing can harm you. Not even death, not even physical death can really harm you. That is not to say you should put yourself in danger. It is to say that the coming changes will be many in scope. Some of you have decided to remain in physical vehicles for the time being. Some will leave in light bodies. Some will die supposedly naturally occurring deaths so that they may help from the other side. But all of these are welcome at this time. Just as in an operation, you need a surgeon, an anesthesiologist, you need a prep nurse, you need a recovery physician. Every soul has its place and part to play. You shall be given messages. Listen to your inner guidance. Do not be afraid. Things will intensify. You shall feel slightly apart, perhaps, and be more as watchers as 3D continues to grow more chaotic with economic and global pattern collapse. This can be alleviated and mitigated to some extent, but it will happen because Earth is moving. She is moving into the Christed beingness of her soul. And those of you who have chosen to move with her have to move now. It is time to let go of the old. It is time to embrace what the meaning of Christ Mass really means. Christmas is Christ Mass, the physicalization of the Christed consciousness in a body. This is our message to you on this Christmas Eve of 2007. We bless you. We honor you. We protect you. We ask that you come to us with your fears and your questions, and to know that you are to think of yourselves as victorious and triumphant in everything that comes to you. Master your thoughts. Master your fears. You are to become masters of the lower impulses of your physical beings. Adonai Tzevaos, Om Elohim, Shanti, Shanti, Om.
It's kind of like somebody has to have the predisposition.
Yeah.
That I really want to help this planet, you know? I want to make a contribution. It's like when you look at somebody else, they're doing something, and they're getting recognized for it.
I could do better than that.
I mean, instead of sharing what they're doing and becoming one with it and learning from it, you're separate. Not that you're doing better than that, you just separate yourself from it because it's like, why are they getting the attention and I'm not? Mm-hmm. If only I could channel, then I would get attention. And
yeah.
I would be popular.
Yeah.
And, or if only if I could play music. then the girls would love me, you know. Well, music is not nearly as dangerous as channeling, okay? Daphne says she'd give it away in a second, okay? Here, tell Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
Oh, hi.
Hi, this channeling business, it has been so hard to deal with this. I mean, it's nearly killed me. I mean, seriously, I know it's very important. I know it's a great service. but to keep your vibration at the level of and purity of intent, I was nowhere. I mean, the hell that I've gone through in the last 5 years.
Right.
I am not a saint. I mean, basically, it takes sainthood. I mean, that's why Terry can handle this better than I am. She's much, much, much closer to sainthood than I am in terms of her purity of her intent. I still have a lot of unresolved stuff around stuck creativity. You know, I'm a musician, wanting recognition for being a musician. You know, I would much, much, much rather have been a successful musician than have this strange ability to channel. So, I am, my intent isn't pure enough. That's why I've suffered so much. I thought my intents were pure, but if I really, really look at myself, you know, I don't know if it's this lifetime or other lifetimes or just my track, there is part of me that really, you know, wanted recognition for doing something well. And what I did well was music. And so it was also much easier to handle because it's people can relate to it, you know, the mainstream can relate to it. And
well, I can understand that because to me, music is the highest form of communication.
Sure, and it moves people emotionally. That's the other thing is that, you know, when I do this, you know, it's basically I go into a trance. I know it touches people deeply, and I know it's a good thing, but I don't feel a part of it. I don't get an emotional high from it. No, in fact, I usually spend the night screaming and crying, you know, because I'm having negative attacks afterwards. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, you know, Jay-Z Knight doesn't necessarily go through this. You know, Fred Sterling and Tom Kenyon, you know, maybe they don't go through this kind of stuff. Maybe they're just more evolved. Maybe I just have a really, really bad past track record that I haven't cleaned up. But, you know, it's been a very, very, very hard thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just a huge responsibility that I just feel, like, energetically, psychologically, emotionally, I wasn't prepared for it. And, you know, I guess my high self just said, okay, here, kind of drop me into the middle of it, do this. I don't know. Do I regret it? No, I don't regret it. Would I encourage someone to try to access this kind of information directly? No, I would not encourage it. I mean, I did a channeling last night, you know, and it was live on BBS Radio, and it was very beautiful and very powerful. I mean, probably the energies are getting more and more powerful. And Wynn went out for an hour out to his car to make phone calls. I thought I was okay, but when he came back, we fell asleep. And in the middle of the night, and I started crying and shaking. Well, my left leg is like completely covered with bruises. I haven't banged into anything.
Oh dear, yeah.
But you know, that's the nature of the beast that that I'm dealing with now. I mean, I know I have to get stronger. I know that I have to. I guess I just feel like, gee, you know, they really should have picked a better person. I'm too bad. I'm too selfish. I'm too clogged up. You know, they needed somebody that was a much cleaner vessel. But for some reason, they have this ability to do it. I don't know why.
A number of things come to mind. I certainly understand what you're saying. If I translate it to myself, I would have to say that I've been an actor when I was young. Oh, we got the fire engines here. And when I was an actor, it was like channeling. If I did a really amazing performance, when I walked off the stage, I had not a clue what happened. In fact, I felt like I did the worst performance of my life. And it was during those times that people were just like nuts about what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It was like channeling. The difference is in music, if I get to that place and play music, not only does the audience or the people listening to it receive it, but so do I. And it feels good. And I feel energized.
Yep.
So I can relate to her.
Yeah, I would say with music, you're riding with the wave
versus
channeling where you're constantly
buffeted.
Yeah,
but you know, that's a really good analogy. That's true. Like when I do music and I get, because I do most, it's all improvisational mostly,
and
I sit down at the piano or the harp, and I mean, I get high on my own stuff. You know, it's wonderful. It's wonderfully healing, and sometimes there's people around and they say that's nice, and sometimes there aren't, and okay too. But I don't, you know, wake up, you know, with bruises and boogeymen haunting me, and clearly I should probably have more gratitude that I trade this ability in a moment, you know, to be able to sing like Norah Jones. It's not just to be able to sing like Norah Jones, it's to be able to put it out into the world the way she has and uplift people's spirits the way she has. And I mean, it's a lesser, I mean, Wynn has, he's talked to me a lot about this, and he said it's a lesser service in some ways to be an artist, because the focalization is on you as an individual. Rather, you know, this channeling business, the focalization is not on the individual, it's on the message. I mean, there are people that have become famous, like Jay-Z Knight and stuff, but I don't see, you know, notoriety as a channel. If the messages help people, that's good, but I don't know. I'm a very reluctant servant here. I just...
Wynn has talked to us about your harp music on a number of occasions. Again, something, a lot of things that you say I can relate to. One of the things when Jera got a harp, and I tuned it, and as I was tuning it, I would play it a bit. One day I just took it out and started playing, not knowing, having a clue what I was doing, I just played it. And Jerry goes, you should do more of that.
it's the most forgiving instrument in existence. I mean, if you can just sit down and you know, with art. I mean, like Carrie is an extraordinary artist, extraordinary.
Right.
And you know, she never went to art school. Wynn is an extraordinary musician, songwriter.
Songwriter, yeah.
Never practices. You know, can just do amazing stuff. And it's like. He said something else too. He has amazing insights into things, and I just kind of shake my head sometimes. I go, you know, how is it that, you know, how did the universe put you with me? It's like you need somebody who's more accomplished. I feel so inept. He said the reason you don't get emotional satisfaction out of channeling is because you've mastered it. The reason that you do get emotional satisfaction out of music is that you're still in the process of mastering it. And I thought, no, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, rising above.
Yeah, it's kind of like a been there, done that, and, you know, so, you know, I mean, astrology is the same way. It's like, you know, I've been told I'm a very, very good astrologer, and it's like, it's nothing for me to do it. It's just, I know it. It's just, I came in with the knowledge. I mean, I did study it, but I just knew it. For some reason, I know how to do this stuff, but it's not, it's fire, you know, it's nothing to be played with, especially now. And the messages are important. We don't have that much time left, supposedly.
Yeah, yeah.
But people have to choose energetically, you know, are they going to be service to other or service to self? Or are they going to have to repeat this cycle again? You know, it's made me see
So would there be a way that you can integrate the channeling with your music to help with your comfort zone? Because I truly believe the message of the Elohim can be delivered to the public without words as well, and quite possibly could be triggered through notes played that would transfer the message on another level.
Well, I mean, like, I guess that's probably, I mean, I think that happens, you know, I think that's been happening for hundreds of years. I mean, mm-hmm. like, listen to the music of, you know, of Beethoven, you
exactly.
know? What goes through your body when you listen to, you know?
Well, yeah, that's why, I mean, we played...
Or Debussy, or, you know, Wagner, or maybe not Wagner, Mahler, maybe. It's, you know, when you look at Van Gogh's paintings, those things have been happening, you know, with artists for hundreds. It doesn't mean that there aren't avenues. There are always avenues for new expression, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of in a funny place. It's kind of stuck between the realms. It's like I'm not, you know, 3D doesn't cut the mustard anymore. I don't fit in anywhere here, but I haven't transcended enough to be 4D and heal myself yet. So it's like, you know, still working through the dregs of the, you know, dross of the duality system down here. And I guess it's just going to be commitment and perseverance and the willingness to be a trooper and just to go through it, because there's nowhere else to go. There really is nowhere else to go. You know, all the other avenues are closed. You know, it's like it's do or die time. And I don't know, maybe it has to get to that point for people. You know, it's I'm not saying that they all go through like excruciating experiences. Some of them maybe have a track record where they're already pretty clean. But a lot of people do go through some very hard, dark night of the soul experiences. You know, I know I got to this place kicking and screaming, you know, not wanting to be in the body anymore. But now it's like, okay, I'm learning to let all that kind of negative thinking go and go, oh, no, I'm here for a reason, and I'll just do my part and make the best of it. And try to have some joy and some fun. I mean, I think that opening yourself up to that is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping the lightness around it and keeping the childlike kind of innocence around it is really, really important.
What it is important. I think in the next 15 days, a lot will be revealed, and a lot of what we're doing will be clearer to each individual.
I think that's what they've been saying. When we get to the 111, actually after the 11th.
Yeah,
they said that a lot of stuff is going to shift. Things becoming much, much, much clearer and lighter, supposedly. You know, a lot of this heaviness, a lot of the heaviness lifting and shifting. And I look forward to that greatly.
So do I.
this was like super duper boot camp. You know, it was really hard.
What comes to mind with me of two things that bring up the dark side?
Mm-hmm.
Being inactive and letting your fears take over, and then being on a path and rushing for the light and attracting the dark.
I think that's true. I think that's very true.
Yeah. Because I know when I get totally paralyzed and I haven't got anything creative to do, I just fall apart.
Yep. Well, then if you aren't creating, someone's going to create you.
Exactly.
And if you're in a bad space, it's going to be the negative guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not anchored and you're not grounded, some kind of positive outlet where you're uplifting other people or putting out something or contributing or reaching out and participating. And it's hard. You know, I know you have a lot of water in your chart. I've got a lot of water in my chart. I think it's very, very hard for watery types. It's a lot easier if you've got a lot of fire or a lot of air in your chart, because those energies move, and they're kinetic. You know, whereas the water tends to be, it holds everything. The water in the earth are passive, and they hold. And if there's nothing to move, you know, if there's no push, if there's no thrust, you just become this vat. You know, this kind of this cosmic vat for, I guess it is a kind of alchemy that happens, you know, but going through this process isn't fun. It's kind of like, you know, the I Ching, you know, number 50, it's called the cauldron. You know, it's like, and there's
58 is the cauldron?
At number 50, I think, is the cauldron in the I Ching. And that was the hexagram that was coming to mind when I think of this process. You know, I find myself like wishing wishing that I had like the energy of my sister, you know, or the energy of like all this fiery, you know, athletic kind of just take the world by the horns kind of energy. And I am an Aries, but I'm a 12th house Aries, and somehow coming to terms with what you've got and accepting that and saying, okay, this is all right, instead of wishing you were different, instead of wishing you were someone else, instead of wishing your abilities were different. And I mean, I think that's crucial. It's a healthy blessing who you are. Even, you know, blessing the situation that you're in, even if it's really horrible, blessing, because they say what you resist persists, right?
Yeah.
Blessing your sickness, blessing your, I guess I have to bless my panic attacks. I have to bless the Luminis attacking me all the time, because that would give me the strength to go through it and to get on the other side of it.
Right.
If I want to cower in fear and go, oh my God, I want to commit suicide, was how I felt for a long time, you know, it's, you just stay in hell, you know? It's summoning up that courage to know that with the assistance on the other side of the light, you can heal, you can make it, you can get through it, you can overcome it, you can triumph. There's hope. You can. I mean, I lived for a long time without hope, and it's a devastating place to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm the only person. I mean, there are a lot of people that have lived like that, but you know, it's a horrible, horrible place to be in. And it's, you know, you have to allow yourself to move through that and to go, okay, this too shall pass. There is light on the other side of this. There is understanding. There is strength. There is healing. And there is love. There's appreciation. You know, people will come to you. People will open up to you. People will start, you'll start feeling like your life matters, instead of like if you died, no one would care.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I felt for a long time. It's been a tremendous learning experience, I'll say that. You know, I never, you know, knew, I mean, that I had any idea I was up for something of this magnitude. Because there was a time in my life in the early 90s when I was a really successful astrologer. We were living in Silicon Valley. I was living in Palo Alto and Menlo Park, and I was very happy and I had a good marriage, and you know, I was kind of like a mini celebrity in the area that I was in, and getting a lot of recognition and getting paid well for what I did. And I was like, wow, life's good. And I even thought I was doing something good. I thought I was helping people. I thought I was helping the planet. And I think I was to a certain extent, but not the level that this stuff is. I mean, I still had a safety net there. I still had a well-to-do husband and financial security, and you know, I was young and didn't have health problems. And you know, it's like when it's all taken away. See, the true test is when it's all taken away from you, when you don't have anything to fall back on. You know, where's your anchor? Is your anchor God, or is it fear? Is it light?
Yeah.
You know, or is it selfishness? When everything's said and done. You know, everything, in my case, everything had to be taken away. That's how stupid and how stubborn I am. Because when everything's taken away, when everyone's anchors are taken away, either people will rise to the occasion. You know, people either become heroes then, they become monsters.
Yeah.
And you saw that with Katrina, you know?
Yeah.
You saw it with 9-1-1. It brings out the best and the worst.
Yeah, it did too.
And it will continue to do that.
It was amazing to see how much of the best actually came out, and then
for some people, you know, it will.
Yeah.
It will bring out the best, and you know, that's what we have to look for. That's what we have to look towards, and that's what we have to hope about, and make actions towards too. You know, reaching.
You know, hope is probably one of the something that can anchor people more than anything else. And you were talking about service to self and service to others. They almost join together by...
Yes, I mean, obviously you have to take care of your own needs. If you don't function, if you don't feed yourself, if you don't have a roof over your head, you certainly can't help anyone else. You know, in terms of, you know, the raw material, David Wilcox material, you know, the stuff that we're working with and bringing through, you know, they refer to the path of life is service to other. It is not service to self. And you can ascend on both pathways. Are you familiar with the raw material? Have you read Carla Ruckert's work? I highly, highly recommend it if you haven't. It's you can get it online. You can go online, just do a Google search. If you go to David Wilcox's site, he's got it all organized by themes, by subject matter, because the original material came in it was very discontiguous. You know, it was all kind of piecemeal. And then I don't know if Carla or one of the LL people, you know, organized it, and now it's David's site is an easy place to access it. Wynn has a link on X Drives that he can send you folks.
Okay.
Be happy to do that for you. It's interesting just talking to you. The energy shifted quite a bit. I feel much lighter. It's nice.
Oh, that's great.
Well, it, you know, it really is.
Like I feel like I did something that helped someone else, and it's like, oh, good. I was actually useful, you know. So much of my life, I haven't known how to plug in. You know, I haven't known how to connect with people. It's been really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like having like a plug, like you're in a foreign country and you need an adapter, and none of the adapters fit. You know, it's like, oh, no, actually, you can't plug into the juice. So you're out of the loop, you're out of the circuit, so you feel like, well, why am I here? You know, what's the point? You know, if you can't contribute, what's the point? You know, I'm not here just to take up space. So that's been a huge challenge. Probably a huge challenge for a lot of wanderers. Have you read The Wanderer's Handbook? Carlo wrote a big book in 2003, I think. It's called The Wanderer's Handbook.
Well, I'll have to check that out because I'm a wanderer.
Yeah, you're definitely a wanderer.
Mm-hmm.
The information that came in, I don't know if it was through David, was that I think 1 in 60 people on the planet is a wanderer. And so they're here, and they're like, what am I doing here? Like, you know, nothing fits, you know? The traditional molds don't fit. You know, the traditional things that are supposed to give me happiness and that sense of purpose and being, you know, well-being, they don't fit for me. And, I mean, my mother's a wanderer, and she doesn't know it. I think my sister, at least one of my sisters is a wanderer. And I think my brother is, too. You know, and they're doing things that are filling the space and time for them for now, and maybe it's part of their karmic track, but they really haven't awakened in their consciousness to what's really going on in the planet. And, you know, there's not much time. And if I can help them wake up, many, just not just my family, I mean, many, many people. Up until now, I haven't really known how to do that. I haven't known how to be to really, really authentically be of service. Oh, yeah, a really good point to mention is that my mother, who is a very confused soul, when she would be around Wynn and I, her energy would totally shift. She would become like this incredibly bright, light, because she's got all these worldly qualities that, you know, if they're used, you know, in a service to other way, are wonderful. You know, she's really charismatic. She's a really talented musician. And she's very attractive and loving and generous and got exquisite taste. She's very refined. Those beautiful things would all come out around us. You know, he brings the best out in people. You know, he's got this catalytic nature. He brings the best and the worst out in people. And he's laughing right now. He's got such a wonderful laugh. And Oh, he was mentioning just a person we know in Southern California who is actually doing spiritual work. She's a minister, and but you know, Wynn brought out the absolute worst in her of this whole thing. It's like it's almost too much to believe. I mean, truth is stranger than fiction, right? You know, it's pretty bizarre. It's like if someone were to tell me, you know, at 15, you know, go see this movie, go see Star Wars. That's how old I was when it came out. You know, the problem with Star Wars is that Star Wars is true. You know, Darth Vader exists. There is a dark side. You know, there is a force. You know, there are Obi-Wan Kenobis. You know, Wynn is one of them. You know, it's crazy.
The dark and the light is still something that we're all wrestling with. And I think that's what's coming to a head right now. As you were saying, in the next 11 days, I certainly hope it gets lighter.
I think it will. I have intimations about that, and that they've said in the channelings that it will. You know, things will continue to grow and get lighter and more. Ultimately, it does depend on us. It depends on our willingness to reach for it and to make strides, you know, go in that direction and do things that focus and focalize on that and use our consciousness, you know, as to the best of our abilities to uplift rather than let ourselves stay ensnared, you know, in the muck and the mire. We have to go, no, damn it, I'm going forward. You know, forward and through is my motto for this year. It's forward and through. There is no going back.
Yeah.
Hiding
yeah.
out anymore. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, there's nowhere to hide. It's like forward and through. But it's been great talking to you guys.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's wonderful to hear your perspective on what most people are hearing, which is the channelings, which are wonderful, they're insightful, they're something that can stay with you for days, if not weeks, that directly speak to that part of ourselves that really is looking for this kind of information. And to hear you speak without channeling is also marvelous. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I'll turn you back over to Wynn. Okay, God bless you.
God bless.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.